we're going to get into, if you've got your Bibles, you can turn to Luke chapter 15. If you haven't got a Bible, don't worry, there'll be a Christian nearby, they'll have theirs and you can look on, which would be great. And probably because you're in such a generous church, they'll probably give you their Bible because you probably need it. And if they're reading on a device, you've really hit a jackpot. So, God bless you for that. What a great day to be in church. So we're turning to Luke chapter 15. I want to talk to you in regards to perspective. A perspective that you have as you grow through life, I've found changes. When it comes to Christmas, they say that at Christmas, first of all, you believe in Santa. And then later on, you become Santa. Then later in life, you look like Santa. This is a holiday bit. I don't normally have so much hair on my face, but I have a rule, which is that no razor shall touch my face on holidays. So it's a religious rule, and I'm sticking with it. I don't care. I'm going with it. I think it looks resplendent. The wife doesn't like kissing me, but she knows and I know it looks really good. Anyway, so I think I'm looking like Santa a little bit more. Look, it's interesting. You start life and Christmas is about the food that you can eat and the and then also the gifts that you can get. I have friends of mine that still, when they go back to their parents' house. Now, these are all adults. They go back to their parents' house for Christmas Day. And the challenge they have, and I don't know if this is a challenge that you either have yourself or you would like to institute now into your life, but what they do is they weigh themselves at the start of the day. Eat as much of mum and dad's food as humanly possible and then weigh themselves at the end of the day. And the person that has the most weight gain in a day is the winner and has the championship ring and title for a whole 12 months. Who would love to institute that in their family Christmas Day? That would be brilliant. I love it. I don't think like just eating on one day like that is good. Obviously, I'm eating like that every day. But you start with your Christmas journey by just Christmas is all about what you can get. Then after a while, you start to contribute. You as an adult need to rock up to Christmas with some food, and hopefully your food is not the one left at the end, and no one's touched it. That'd be terrible. After a while, it's not just about what you start to contribute because that's your duty. It's actually, I find maturity comes is when you want to give because generosity is a value and you love what it does for someone else when you contribute. It's not just that I'm meant to give a gift, it's that I love what it does, that I love the communication of love and affirmation that that gives to all of these people that I love so much. I had a similar experience when I read Luke 15 not that long ago. Jesus is talking with a mixed group of people. He's got religious turkeys. There's no other way to put it. They're absolute religious freaks. They love to be awesome. They love to be respected for being brilliant and religious. And then he's got this whole bunch of sinners. And these people, they've never been accepted in a church gathering before. But yet, Jesus is the kind of person they're all intrigued about. And so he's welcoming them wherever he goes. And so he's in this meeting of mixed crowd, and he's got the religious turkeys, and then he's got the sinners, these people that have been ostracized, they've been pushed off, they've been rejected. And so he starts telling a bunch of stories to these guys because they're not going to get it apart from the fact that he tries to, you know, give them a parable, give them a story, try to pick up what he's talking about. And he talks about three unique and significant stories, and they have a theme. You can go and read the whole of Luke 15 another time, but we're going to focus on one of these stories. And if you've read this before, if this story is maybe you identify with this or you've heard it before, I want you to just back up for a second and maybe allow the perspective to change just a little bit. Is that okay? Right. It's great to hear you in this lovely Presbyterian church here on a Sunday morning. Thank you so much. Don't shout me down too much. I told my parents-in-law they're not allowed to heckle. If I'm not going to tease them publicly, they're not allowed to heckle me publicly. Yeah. Verse 11, Jesus continued. See, he was telling a couple of stories earlier. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. The New King James says he squandered his wealth in prodigal living. You might know this as the parable of the prodigal son. Verse 14, after he had spent everything, there was severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. This is a bad day for a Jewish kid. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Where he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and earth, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. He comes to himself and he realizes that it's better back in dad's house. Could it be C3? That the people of this community, that the people of Tauranga, north and south and to the east and to the west, would say, you know what, no matter what happens, it's always better back in that house. It's always better back in the house of God. It's always better. I remember when I first moved to Newcastle and we became the senior pastors of the church, and there's always people welcoming you on the door, which is lovely. We get to love the volunteers that come early to make a house of God feel like a home. But remember, everyone was new to me. I'm the pastor. Now I'm meant to be the leader. I'm meant to be the preacher. I'm meant to be the person that I got to get to know these people. And so I'm standing near the door. And there was the person who was on roster to welcome and greet. And they said to someone, I'd never met any of them, but I'm starting to chit-chat with the volunteers and get to know. And they saw someone I'd never seen before, but hey, I'm new. And they said to the person coming down the aisle, where have you been? And I thought, how could you be that dumb and still breathe? Like, some Christians need the two-fingered prayer. Have you ever heard about the two-fingered prayer? Wow, just like, what are you thinking? Well, surely it's open arm policy. Surely it's come as you are. And as we humble ourselves and submit to God, he doesn't leave us where we are. We come with our baggage, but God doesn't leave us with all of that if we submit to him and walk his ways. But surely come as you are, however it comes. So rock up is the thought. And this guy knew it's better back in dad's house. He comes to his senses and go, I'm doing this, but I could be doing something very much different. And so he rocks up. And he comes, and I could imagine if I was that kid, I would have had a handkerchief filled with diced onions. I would have been coming down the footpath. I would have been sniffing on it so I could really cry, because I want dad to know that I'm really upset and I'm sorry, dad. And so the son comes running to dad. He was still a long way off. His father saw him, was filled with compassion and for him, and he ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. You read that in the old King James and it says the dad fell on his neck. Sounds to me like a WWE move. The son said to him, Father, I'm sinning against heaven and you, and no longer worthy to be called your son. What's the father's response? You think if one of my sons did that, I'd be like, oh, son, come here. The father doesn't respond like that. You know, sometimes I read the Bible and I think if there was a rewriting, I'd ask for some edits. God does things and I'm sitting there going, no, wouldn't do it that way. Seems like God's probably better at his job than I am, though. So the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven, yada, yada, yada. And the father said to his servants, quick, bring... What? So the son opens up, heart opens, snot, onions, everything, tears, everything, and crying on his shoulder. The father doesn't even respond, doesn't even accept the premise of what the son... He just turns. So the son's doing this and he just turns to a servant. And what does he say? He turns to a servant and he says, quick, bring the best robe. put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Oh, look, I love the fact that we worship a God. So much food and lamb, cooked lamb. We're killing the fatted calf. That's some good beef going on right there. Cook me up some steaks. Thank you, Lord. Is anyone happy about this or is it just me? Haven't eaten breakfast yet. The coffee was good and the long blacks are good. And if people stopped drinking milk in their coffees, it would go quicker. And we wouldn't have to listen to you about all of your alternative milks. But anyway, isn't it amazing though? Come as you are, with all of your bag. Anyway, bring the best robe. Doesn't actually respond directly to the kid who comes saying, make me like one of your hired servants. The dad goes, no, you're not one of those. I'm going to talk to the servants right now. Do this and serve my son. This is the response of the Father. This is the response of the one who's representing Father God to us, is when someone comes, we serve them. We make sure they are served. We've come. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He came to serve the lost sheep of Israel. He says, quick, bring the best robe. We're going to reinstate this kid. We're going to put a ring on his finger. What's a ring on the finger? It was the insignia of the family. What you could do, this was like the checkbook. You don't sign a checkbook back in the day. There was a wax mark and you would put the insignia of the family on. He's blown everything, but now he's reinstated, including access to the checkbook. It's ridiculous. All the people in the room that Jesus is talking to, messed up. What? You do what? It didn't work with the way that they thought. The religious people, the people that used to coming to church are going, that's not how it's meant to be. There's a range of things in here that it's not what they would have thought was the right thing to do. All the sinners in the room are going, I've never heard this before. This is, everyone is slightly messed up. Everyone is slightly like, oh, now you've got my attention. Is this how it works? Jesus is saying this is exactly how it works. You get reinstated as a son. You're not coming here, make me like one of your hired servants. And there are Christians in this room. And your perspective of God is exactly like a younger brother. You rock up, you show up, you come to God. And you come to God with the same attitude of the younger brother. And he's saying, you don't get it. If you could change the perspective, if you could see how he really is, it would change your enjoyment of your time with him. And it would change the way that you see other people that are around you and all of the resources that he's got in your hand. The Father says, no, we're going to reinstate him. And so what they do is they have a party. The son of mine was dead. Let's have a feast. I'm going to celebrate. Son of mine was dead and is now alive. He was lost and is found, so they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. And when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. He's like, what's going on? There's a party. I didn't know there was going to be a doof party up in the shed. Nobody told me this was happening. So he sends one of the boys, go and find out what's going on. I'm just going to stand out here. They haven't invited me. Too bad. I'm the older son. I'm the cool cat around here. One of his mates, one of his servants comes back and he goes, oh, you're never going to guess. You're never going to guess what happened. He says, what's happened? He said, well, your brother's back. That little, beepity beep. That little, he's back. And your father's throwing a party for him. He's what? This guy is ticked. He is so angry. He goes, I'm not going to no party. I'm not going to that party with that little snot who did all that. Not a chance that's happening. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. Verse 20-something, 8. So his father went out and pleaded with him. You know, inside of every one of us is either a little bit of younger brother or a little bit of older brother. Because there's people going, I don't deserve this good that God brings. And you come pleading, begging, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Hoping to serve your way into God's good graces. And he doesn't accept the premise, doesn't accept it. But the older brother says, you know what, there's a party for the lost kid. I'm not going to the party. Sometimes we're like the older brother going, well, I've been here for years. I've been here for years and I've been doing the right thing. And I can't believe what's happening around here. I've been here for years in this church. No one's recognizing my gift. Yeah, well, if you're that grumpy, no one wants to. If you ever find the perfect church, ladies and gentlemen, don't go there and wreck it. It's a terrible move. They're having so much fun until you arrive. You're with humans. There's going to be humans, and you bring your humanity as well. This older brother goes, no way. There's no forgiveness in this guy. What's his response to dad? Answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you. Everyone say the word slaving. Isn't that a bit of a telltale sign? I've been slaving for you. I've never missed a roster. Never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat. Who the flip asks for that? Isn't it amazing? Older brother syndrome makes us think that we're entitled. And then we expect weird things. It's just odd. When this son of yours squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. Well, this is amazing. You've got two brothers that want dad's stuff but don't have a relationship. They don't understand the heart of the dad, who's actually amazing in this state. And some of us come to God like we're the younger brother. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And your Christianity's weird. Because you come to God unworthy and sorry. And when you go to pray, you come repenting and you need to stop. Now, there's some theological scholars in this church that are saying, you're telling us to stop repenting? Just chill out for a second. The older brother has come entitled. Give me, give me, give me. And there's Christians that come praying thinking, I just need to ask God for certain things. You're praying, your prayer time, your connection with God is about asking. And it always plays out weird. Like God is a heavenly, it's just Santa, vending machine. If I do the right things, I put the right amount of currency into the thing, I get the right, and it hasn't come out, the thing's just shaking the machine. Well, let's see how Jesus says we should approach the Father. For that, you can turn to Matthew in chapter 6. If you don't have your Bible, don't worry, it'll come up on the big novelty one behind me. Matthew chapter 6 from verse 9. This then is how you should pray. So Jesus is saying this is how you should approach the Father. Even if you've got a bit of younger brother in you and you're going, I can't believe I still get, like, God loves me and my father loves me, but I really don't deserve it and I feel like I should be saying sorry. Just chill out for a second and read this. Or if you're the older brother going, I just want to ask and I've got to ask for stuff, and when I feel selfish for asking for me, I'm like, oh, I'll ask for someone else, but it feels weird every time because it's older brother. So how does Jesus say to start? He doesn't say to start with asking nor repenting. This is how he says to start. This then is how, not what you should pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our... My grandfather placed on his bed than your grandfather. It's not what, it's how. Everyone say how. It's very different. Very different. This is how then you should pray. If you come to a father who's actually loving, this is how it works. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hello. Hallowed be your... No, it's not that at all. Hallowed be your name is worship. It's reverence. It's You made all of this. I can't believe people look. I've been traveling 7 weeks. I've been in New Zealand traveling this country. I can't believe people look at the scenery and think that this happened by accident. Are you flipping kidding me? It screams, creation screams of a creator. It's too beautiful to happen by happenstance. It's absolutely impossible. Hallowed be your name. God, you are that big. You can speak the world into existence, but yet you're open for me to just rock up, to approach you. The younger brother wants to serve his way in. Oh, I've been a bad boy. I'll do the right thing. I'll do the right thing. I'll do the right thing. And some people, that's how you approach God. Because your online activity has not been really God-like, has it? See, rock up to church and feel like a hypocrite. Hypocrisy's not here. This is the right thing. It's actually learning to deal with the other stuff. But if you have a relationship with a father that you love and you get to know, it's amazing how the habits that are either online or from the mouth or of the mind or actions or habits start to just feel a little bit like, I don't want to do that anymore because I have a connection with a God that I love. I wouldn't want to get anything in the way. Hallowed be your name. You're so amazing, but yet you include me. I don't deserve it, but yet you include me and I approach him. I can come to God as I am. He accepts me as I am. Note, he's not going to leave me as I am because I come with my mess. My notions or the world's notions about what's acceptable are often not acceptable because they're messing me up. And after a while, if I humble myself to God, he's going to go, well, let's deal with that one. Is it because he's the cosmic police? You got to stop that. That's bad. I know there are sinners here in this house. Guy wearing a Manchester United shirt is obvious. But yet, he just says, come, hallowed be your name. It's a God, you are God and I'm not. I don't get to set the rules. How many people in your world and how many times we think this? I've heard people say, oh, I can't worship a God who X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, well, if he's God, then I don't get to choose what actually happens or how it, he's either God or he's not. I'm not. I'm obviously, I'd be terrible at that job. But I come to God, hallowed worship, holy be your name. And it goes on, your kingdom come and your will be done. You're not coming as a slave. Sorry. Not coming. Sorry, a servant. Sorry. I'm not coming slaving. I've been slaving all these years and I'm expecting a young goat. I'm not coming entitled. I'm saying, God, no, not my kingdom come. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. I want everything around me. I want my city. I want my family. I want my workplace. I want the place that I study, my school, the people I play sport with. I want them to know Jesus with every... God, I humble myself. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done. It's not mine. Jesus had that same prayer in the garden, not my will, but yours be done. So I don't want to follow my will. Some people say, well, I just got to be true to myself. Don't. Because you're usually dodgy. I'm just going to follow my feelings. No, your evil other self will tell you that. Jesus said, let that go down. And that's what I'm saying. Let your will be done, not mine. This in the prayer is a position of your will and not mine. It's an elevation of what he wants and a death to what I want. This is how I should approach my father. Younger brother, older brother. This is how we approach our father. And if I can do that, if I can start with worship and I can move on to submission and humility, now my heart's in a great place to ask. Give us today our daily bread. Now you're in a great spot. Now it's time to ask, well, God, I'm worshiping you. I'm submitted. God, I want what you want on planet Earth now. I've got this, I've got this world that needs to be won. I've got this great cause that I've got through my workplace or my study. You've given me a call, God. I don't feel confident enough, God. Would you give me confidence? I don't have the resources. I don't have the connections, God. Would you give me resources and connections? You're in a brilliant position for the provision of God. If you'd start saying, God, I worship you, and that's my first thing. And God, I'm going to humble myself to you. And God, I want what you want on planet Earth, not what I want. And now I'm ready to ask. The older brother was asking, expecting entitlement. The whole point would be worship and submission. Now you're ready to ask. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. And because you ask amiss for your own pleasures. I submit my will to his, and it's amazing how now I'm ready to go, God, I want to change the world. I could do with your resources. And he goes, I could do with putting them in your hands. Come on, someone here today, and you need a miracle. You need the provision of God. Come on, close your eyes, lift your hands to heaven right across this place. There's some miracles happening in this place. God's provision. God's provision. Someone here, there's a business person. It's connections. It's actually partnerships. There's an Ishmael and an Isaac. You got to pick the Isaac. You got to pick the one that God has ordained. Be patient. God will bring it your way. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for those lacking confidence. I want to share the gospel. But God, today they've been maybe discouraged. I pray, mighty God, your provision, God, over every man, woman, and child in this place. God, I thank you for your great provision. The prayer doesn't stop with provision. The fourth point, there's more to this prayer, but this is as far as I'm going to get because that's what we're doing. Forgive us our debts. Worship, humility. Now I'm ready to ask. That's amazing. It says, forgive us our debts as we also. Everyone say also. Simultaneously. Simultaneously is what it is. It's also. It's happening at the same time. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who sin against us. You're now ready not just to be forgiven of your sins, but be released of the burden of the unforgiveness of the other people around your life. And you might say, you don't know what they did to me. They don't deserve forgiveness. No, but you deserve to be free. You deserve to be free of the burden of that person living rent-free in your head. You don't know what they did to me. I'm probably thinking the stats of abuse would be similar in Australia as to New Zealand. Say one in three girls by the age of 16 and one in five boys by the age of 16 are sexually abused in my country. I would say in a sample size like this, there's got to be a lot of people that have gone through some really terrible stuff. That person, you go, they don't deserve my forgiveness. They usually move on and forget about it. And how many times are we still holding on to that sucker? Still burdened, still twisted. I'm not saying that you need to let that person do it again or even let them into your life. You don't always need to restore relationship. But if you want to be free, you'll understand as you pray, worship, humility, ask. Now I'm going to also ask for forgiveness and receive it at the same time. There's a transaction. There's a freedom that happens when you say, God, you know what? It's not my will. It's yours. Be done. And I haven't followed that. Maybe you were the younger brother who went off and did the wrong thing. Maybe you were the older brother who stayed with a horrible attitude. And God's convicting you today. The pathway here is the fact that you would be free from the debt of sin and you would forgive others and be free from holding that grudge that's messing you up. God loves you enough to lead you in this prayer to the point where you would be completely free. Here's a prayer that actually frees people. And you might identify yourself as a younger brother or an older brother. God today wants to free you. Let you know that you can approach, no matter what you've said, no matter what you've done, no matter your online activity, no matter if you're one of those people living in New Zealand, one of those weird people that secretly barrack behind the scenes for the Wallabies. Why you do that, I have no idea. I've given up. I just watch the news when it comes to rugby time just so I can, just in case. we don't get absolutely shellacked, I can ring a Kiwi and say, yeah, we're still not that bad. No matter what you've done, God knows what you did last summer. And he says, would you just approach? Younger brother, older brother, would you approach and receive his love and forgiveness? Come on, how about you bow your heads and close your eyes? If I can get some musicians to come and play something romantic, that's going to be good. Today, God loves you, no matter your track record. He loves you. Whether you did the wrong thing and ran, whether you stuck around and did the wrong thing, God loves you. You can approach him. He makes that really, really clear. And so today, if you want to either come to him for the first time, you bring to him your unworthiness. We all do. No one's worthy. That's the whole point. It's the grace of God forgives us when we don't really deserve it. I don't, you don't. We're all in the same boat. And today, you get accepted in the family. You're loved. The younger brother came in his piggy mess. No shower. And Dad fell on his neck, not like a WWE move, but actually hugged him. In his piggy mess. That's what the Father does to you. You approach, he's there. You thought he was distant with rules. No, he's close with a relationship. He loves you, friend.